Welcome, folks. We're going to give just a couple of minutes for everyone to get settled into the Zoom room, and we'll get started shortly. As we're getting started, you're welcome to take a look at some of the links on screen. These are some of the initial opportunities and ways to provide feedback for the NAIR pilot launch and what is available currently. So I think we're still going up a little bit. Get started one more minute. Oh, and apologies if you saw a SharePoint.com link. That was not the right link. We will get the appropriate link sent out in a moment. You should now see some of the links to the resources that are on our current slide. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for this pilot webinar about the National AI Research Resource pilot effort. This webinar is being recorded. Slides for this webinar, as well as a recording of our discussion today, will be available on the NSF event page from which you registered in the days following this session. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our Office Director of the NSF Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, Katie Antipas, who will talk a little bit about the vision for the National AI Research Resource and the launch of the pilot effort. Great. Please go ahead, Katie.
Great. Thank you so much, Al, and welcome, everyone. It is incredibly exciting to be able to talk to you. It looks like we have more than 500 people that are joining, which is just amazing. It's been fantastic to see the interest from the community on the NAIR pilot. So Al, let's go to the next slide here. So I wanted to start out with the vision for the NAIR. The NAIR stands for the National AI Research Resource. And the vision for the NAIR is really to provide a national research infrastructure that connects the research community to the computing, the data, the training, models, software, and user support necessary to empower and drive AI innovation in the US ecosystem here. So there are a number of key goals that were identified as part of the NAIR. One is to spur innovation for the country, increase the diversity of talent in AI, improve overall capacity in AI R&D, and to advance what we're calling trustworthy AI or responsible AI. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we move forward. I'm sometimes asked, why do we need a NAIR? We have big compute and already in this country, don't we? But I think the key challenge here is that there are so many members of the community that have the ability to contribute to the AI innovation ecosystem. And we know that AI holds incredible potential to solve some of our key societal problems. But many, many researchers and educators lack the resources that are necessary even to begin participating in this ecosystem. And so we really need to make sure that researchers that are investigating in AI or using AI to really serve the public good, that they have access to resources. And we need to make sure that the next generation of AI leaders, that they have access to the resources in their own classrooms and to be able to participate. So I wanted to provide a little bit of history on where the concept of the NAIR came from and how we got to the stage where we are today. So in 2020, the AI Initiative Act created a congressionally mandated NAIR task force. That task force had 12 members, 4 from academia, 4 from government, and 4 from industry. This task force worked together for 18 months, and they were charged with examining whether this concept of the NAIR was feasible, and if so, to provide an implementation plan for the NAIR. And so they worked and published a report, this purple report you see in the upper right, and it was published almost exactly a year ago in January of 2023. In spring of last year, an interagency working group started collaborating to determine how to begin working in this area, how we might have a pilot for the NAIR. And it was really the AI executive order that was released at the end of October that was kind of a driving force in moving this forward quickly. The AI executive order directed NSF and our collaborating agencies to launch the NAIR pilot within 90 days. And so we launched the NAIR pilot on January 24th, and you'll hear more about that from our team here. So the vision for the NAIR is that the research community that includes researchers, educators, and students, they gain access to a set of distributed resources through a NAIR portal. And those resources include cloud computing, high performance computing, data sets, models, software, and other tools. And this is an image that's taken directly from the NAIR Task Force report. I think it's important to show everyone here the scale of the vision for the NAIR. The NAIR Task Force proposes a program. It's a large program, $2.6 billion over a 6-year period. Now, no, this is in the report. This is part of the task force report. No funding has yet been appropriated for the NAIR, but just this is to give you a sense of the scope of the NAIR. Now, that's not where we are today. Today, we are in the pilot stage of the NAIR. And so our goals with this pilot are really to demonstrate the value and impact of this broader NAIR concept. And to support, and well, to do that, we want to support really novel and transformative AI research and also reach new communities across our country in every state and at every type of institution, and really gain experience for building out the full NAIR. So we are directed in the AI executive order to launch the NAIR pilot with our existing resources. And the existing resources of some of our partner agencies as well. We also have in-kind contributions from a number of non-governmental partners, including industry, private industry, as well as nonprofits. And so this is a best effort proof of concept approach that really leverages what agencies and industry and nonprofits are bringing together to demonstrate this concept of the NAIR. So Al, I think I'm passing it back to you and the team for the next set of the slides.
Thank you, Katie. And I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Alejandro Suarez. I'm a program director within the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. And I co-chair with my colleague, Sharon, who you'll hear from shortly, the Pilot Program Management Office for the NAIR Pilot. So I want to go over what exactly was launched on January 24th and what is available for researchers to access as part of the pilot today. So on the left, you will see a link to the first call for access to computing resources, including GPUs, that is available to researchers and educators. This call asks for short three-page proposals. It is available now and is open through March 1st, so you can receive access to some resources that I'll go over in just a few slides. There is also an initial catalog of some data sets, other pre-trained models, some research platforms that have been contributed from some of our agency partners. We have 10 agency partners that are available on this this pilot portal page, and we have 25 non-governmental partners that will be adding those resources to this catalog coming soon. So, to reiterate, the access to some of the computing and testbed systems from DOE and NSF funded projects is available now. Some of these select data sets from agency partners is available now. We are happy to announce that in a late March timeframe, pending some funding and system availabilities, we'll have a second open opportunity to access additional resources, a wider range of capabilities, and we'll get into some detail about what those capabilities will look like shortly. So this is a large partnership. This is not just an NSF activity. We have 11 agencies total that are participating across several areas of government. And we have many contributors from the private sector in terms of industry individuals, industry companies, nonprofits, foundations that are contributing in-kind resources. And there are more that will be joining as the pilot proceeds. You can find more details about these contributions at the link in the top right of your screen. And it is available in the NSF news site that was linked earlier in the chat. So what are the types of contributions that are being made here? Well, initially, there are many different kinds of contributions have been announced. These include cloud computing credits, access to associated models, access to computing hardware systems, test beds, licenses to different software platforms, open large language models, software libraries, privacy enhancing platforms, API access, education platforms, enhanced training, user support types experiences. These are all the types of contributions, many of them coming from the non-government sector that we are going to be integrating into the pilot over time. In terms of the organization of the pilot, we have essentially a scaled down model of what Katie presented earlier that was in the full task force report. We have already launched this nairpilot.org portal that US-based researchers, educators, and students can come in and see what types of resources are available. And we are updating that in conjunction with the awardees that are putting that website together for us, as well as working with the resources and opportunities that are going to be made available through that pilot. As a reminder, the idea of the NAIR pilot is to provide the research resources, to provide the infrastructure to allow scientists that are researching AI or using AI for their research to get it done. This program is not meant to fund end user research in and of itself. In terms of all of the different activities that can be enabled by the NAIR that we are focusing on over the course of the pilot, we have categorized these into four what we're calling tent poles. Those are in NAIR Open, which is fully open access to AI resources, NAIR Secure, which is being led in collaboration with Department of Energy and NIH to look at privacy and security preserving resources that may need special treatment due to the fact of the models you're generating, the data that you are using. NAIR Software, which are how the software stack for a Nair would look like? What are the different types of platforms, tools, and services that are necessary for researchers to best get their research done? And Nair Classroom, which will focus on the reaching new communities, reaching new generations through education, training, and user support and outreach materials. In terms of Nair Pilot users, we are very interested in AI researchers that may need infrastructure to get their research done, domain scientists that are applying AI into their research domains, as well as students and educators that are looking to educate future generations on how to use AI tools throughout their education. In terms of the types of individuals that can access Nair, the Nair Pilot resources, we're looking for folks that are from US-based institutions, but this need not only be academic institutions. If you're affiliated with a nonprofit, an FFRDC, state, local, or tribal agencies, or even startups and small businesses that may have small business innovation research grants or other types of federal grants are welcome to apply. The main focus, however, is on individuals that are affiliated with US-based institutions. In terms of the initial priority areas that we are focusing on in this pilot at the moment, we're looking at these four general themes. These include safe, secure, and trustworthy AI, includes areas of healthcare, areas of environment and infrastructure, and AI education. Note that these are not necessarily NSF research priorities, but these reflect the research priorities of having a government-wide scale resource. And these are focus themes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that these are the only things that you can do research on when having access to the Nair pilot. So this is an overview of what's available now. I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, Sharon Jiva, who will talk about what we are moving towards in future phases of the pilot.
Thank you, Al. My name is Sharon Brody Geva. I am also a program director in OAC, and along with Al, co-lead the pilot, Nair pilot program management office. So as we move beyond this initial launch, we have a few areas that we are focusing on specifically, and you'll see a bit more information about them in the next slides. One of the important things is governance, advisory groups, and technical working groups to be able to create this larger scale pilot than the one that we initially launched with. Another important part is integrating additional partner resources. You'll see in a minute, we had a small number of original initial launch resources that we integrated, and we will be continuing to integrate new ones, all contributed by our agency colleagues or by industry partners. Something that we're starting working on specifically now is the user support and the outreach to new communities. And very soon we're going to be starting community meetings and technical workshops so that we can assure that this is a community designed project and that we can get input from various channels from the community itself. So the current computing resources that are available and were made available on January 24th in the initial launch are a number of large systems from the US Department of Energy and from NSF itself. These are names that many of you are probably familiar with. Frontera Lone Star 6 from TAC. It has large CPU and GPU resources. Delta from NCSA with a GPU-focused system. Neocortex, which is a testbed with wafer-scale AI accelerators. Summit, the DOE large capacity CPU and GPU system. And the Argonne National Lab AI testbed that has various AI accelerators on it. Coming in late March, we will be opening up a call for additional resources that are computational, more advanced computing systems than we launched with initially, but also access to cloud resources and to train models, community platforms, and collaboration opportunities. You can see a list of our partners and contributions if you can scan this QR code or go to this link here. And of course, everything is pending system and funding availability. So how do we see the scaling of the NAIR pilot at this initial stage? The pilot launched on January 24th, 2024. We had a pilot portal that went live. We had an initial call for the access to those systems that you just saw in the previous slide. And it comes with a thematic focus of responsible and trustworthy AI research, not a broad thematic focus, though, as Al noted, we will be also looking at requests for broader allocations than these thematic focuses. We have some initial data sets that are available from agencies and partners. And we also launched a request for information survey of researcher and educator use cases that you can also see on the nairpilot.org homepage. And there's a link there and you can go directly to the survey. We expect to support about 25 to 50 projects in this first initial launch that will continue until the next call, which will be the enhanced pilot in the spring of 2024, in which we'll add access to additional computing resources. We'll have future calls on targeted topics that may not be the same as the theme that we had now, enhanced user functionality, and we expect to support a much larger number of projects, about 100 to 300. One of the important things that we are starting to build out now is support for NAIR pilot users and the outreach to new communities. These are things that are important. They're called out in the executive order, and they're critical to be able to build out the support and the community in the nation's NAIR pilot users. We have to be able to reach out to new communities. We are working through various channels to do that, consortia, state and regional networks, and so on. We are also starting to work on a classroom resource. You saw that in one of the slides at the beginning. NAIR Classroom is one of these areas that we are targeting for this pilot. And we especially would like to target rural and underserved institutions. And then continuing our collaboration with our various agency partners, we are trying to make sure that we can consult with other agency projects and that we can build some crosswalks and some ways of combining these various contributed resources. And I'll pass this on to my colleague, Lisa.
Great, thank you, Sharon. My name is Lisa Merle, and I am the statistical advisor at the National Center for Science and Engineering Statistics, which is within NSF. And I'm really grateful for Alejandro and the NAIR team for inviting me to be part of this webinar and really hear about all of this exciting work and really kind of talk about ways of sort of talking about agency projects and how we might be able to align some of the work that we're doing. So while NAIR, you know, the pilot is taking off, at NCSES, we are actually conducting what's called the National Secure Data Service Demonstration Project. And I think that there really is a lot of work between the two projects that can complement each other. And within our agency, we are starting to discuss ways that we can connect these initiatives and really help, you know, synergize our experiences. So just a very, you know, brief overview, the demonstration work that we are doing for the National Secure Demonstration Project, it was established through the CHIPS and Science Act, and we've been working on these projects for about 2 years, and we have many more projects that are continuing to move forward. And there is, you know, some connection in terms of we have projects looking at privacy preserving technologies, and we actually have a new request for solution that is out right now looking to build a secure compute environment. So just the last bullet, we just wanted to mention that we are having an upcoming webinar where we're going to talk about just different ideas for new projects. And we do have a specific breakout session that really is going to focus on AI. So that was kind of all I wanted to mention, but just really looking forward to future collaborations. And I will now turn it back to Sharon.
Thanks, Lisa. I just wanted to quickly show that we are only a couple of people here on this webinar, but we have a whole team who is working on this NAIR pilot from OAC, from across NSF. And in addition to those that you can see here, there are also many others from NSF, from our partner agencies, and from the community itself that are all working on this. So at this point, I think I'll turn it back to Al.
Thank you, Sharon. So this is essentially everything we wanted to cover right now in terms of what is available to researchers as part of the pilot effort and what's coming very soon. So stay tuned to the nairpilot.org space for the future call happening in late March. As we transition to answering more of your questions, we'd like to linger on this slide a little bit because this is something that we'd really like to get your feedback on. We noted it earlier in the deck, but we're just repeating it here. We have an NSF Dear Colleague letter that calls for the members of the community, researchers, educators, even students may fill this out. Quick survey where you can describe what discipline you're working in, what are the use cases that you could see for using a NAIR, and what are the challenges that you're facing and accessing AI tools and resources for your current research. This is going to be incredibly helpful for us to be informed about how the NAIR pilot will continue to progress. We also have a NAIR pilot announcements mailing list. So if you send an email to the email address at the bottom there, that NAIR pilot announcements subscribe request, we will be able to keep you informed about updates such as the new call that will likely happen in late March and other announcements about the NAIR pilot. So at this point, we see many questions coming in, many questions that have been answered. We are happy to start going through some of your questions and answering some of them live, as many of them have been answered through text. And Katie, please go ahead.
Sure. I saw one question, and I want to make sure we really emphasize that this the NAIR is an infrastructure. It's an infrastructure for the research community, and I make an example. This is an infrastructure, not a telescope, but it's like a telescope in that it is made available to the community. The NAIR pilot is not funding researchers' own time or students. It's providing access to this resource. And so there's a question. The process for requesting resources, it's actually not an NSF process. It's run through one of our awardees, and it's much lighter weight. So I think it's a couple page application process. And so there was a question about a bio sketch, and you'll see in this application that is online, that particular part is not needed. They will check to see if you have other funding when you apply for those resources.
Thank you, Katie. Sharon.
Yeah, I can answer. I saw a few questions about access and overlap with the NAIR pilot. So it is true that a number of the resources, even in the initial launch, are resources that you can request allocations on through access as well. But a few important things to note. NAIR pilot is not taking any of the capacity of these systems that was that is allocated to access. So this is in addition to the capacity that is allocated to access via access from these systems. The question was, what's the difference? So there's a couple of differences that you might want to take into account if you consider applying through NAIR. One of them is that the NAIR call, at least the initial call, is for a 6-month period of usage. And the other very important thing is the focus of the projects that will be awarded time on these systems. And the focus here has to be completely aligned with the NAIR goals and with the thematic focus of the specific call. So there is no reason to choose one or the other. You can apply to more than one, but bear in mind that there are specific eligibility requirements for applying for an allocation on NAIR, even if it's on a system that you are used to requesting on access. And along with the eligibility, there's also the time constraint on the length of allocation and the thematic focus of the project that you are proposing.
Thank you, Sharon. I will note, I've seen some questions that talk about, are there subgroups on FAIR principles aspect? How is IP being handled when resources are being used? I will point out, with regards to the initial allocations call, there is a requirement that anyone who uses the NAIR pilot computing resources in this round has to openly publish their findings of their research. So if you're doing something that the results are going to be proprietarily handled due to the institution you're in, that would not be allowable through the NAIR pilot. However, otherwise, just like as Sharon was talking about our access program, which is our general program for that NSF runs for access to computing resources for scientific research more broadly, we would give the same advice as that program, which is things like handling IP. That is up to your institution how you do that through your standard research projects, such as if you were receiving a federal grant. Katie, please go ahead.
Yeah, it looks like there's a couple questions related to private data, secure data. And so I wanted to speak a little bit more about the NAIR secure thrust. So the NAIR secure area is going to be led by NIH and DOE. And so we do want to make opportunities available through NAIR secure. We realize that there are certain AI research that requires an additional level of privacy and security preserving functionality. And so I would say stay tuned for more information on NAIR secure.
Thank you, Katie. Let's see, Bill, see a question you'd like to answer.
Yeah, thanks. There was a question about supplements to awards, research awards, and I just thought I would answer. It was easier to answer it by voice so everybody hears. Again, it goes back to the question about the NAIR pilot is provisioning resources for the researchers. We're not supporting the research itself. And these resources are not being provided at a cost. So if you get an allocation on computing, NAIR pilot computing resource, it's not going to be charged to your grant or anything. So if you are interested, as this questioner is interested in supplements to your research grants, we encourage you to reach out directly to your research program officer who's, for your award, and that you can discuss research supplements, but it's not connected to the NAIR pilot infrastructure effort that we're doing here.
Thank you, Bill. Sharon.
And there was a question about if there's a mechanism to do exploration without applying for access to these resources. So depending, if these are computational resources, then there is no mechanism. It has to, other than going through a request for access through the application process. There are, however, many data sets that you can see on the website, listed on the website, that you can access without having to get an allocation formally approved. And as we go to the next phase, you will see many different types of resources. Some of them will be available only through allocation. Some of them will be available only or will be available without having to go through the allocation list. But they're going to be clearly delineated which of them are require allocation requests and which aren't. And you can see that today on the website. The call for allocations is for resources that require going through the process, and the open data sets and so on, you do not have to fill out forms or go through any process for them.
Bill.
Another question, and I see Varun is also typing a response, which I will let him do, but I just want, it's a question that has broad relevance from an anonymous attendee who is asking about, for students or newer researchers, those not familiar with access or the allocation process, the bar for applying is high, and it would be great if there were a much more lightweight allocation process for the initial step of allocation, so onboarding to the NAIR can be easier. So this is very important to us to reach, it's important to access as well, the access program, but for the NAIR pilot, it's also very important to reach broadly. And we encourage new users and students who have meritorious activities that they would like to do to apply. Right now we have the one first early open call, and it's well described what resources are available there. It's a relatively simple form to fill out with a relatively short, I think, 3-page application. And so it's not overly onerous. We are looking at, in the future, in the next open call, there will be a more broad array of resources and different ways of engaging. But we encourage you to apply because we want to try to make sure that your experience is good. So don't be thrown off or hesitant to do so. Do your best to describe what it is that you're trying to do, answer the questions, and it will be addressed accordingly.
Thank you, Bill. I see another question that is asked. There are already research infrastructures in many other areas like health, automotive, security, include elements of AI. How do we ensure coordination and consistency across all these efforts and avoid fragmentation? One of the strong points for the NAIR pilot effort, as well as what was called for in the full NAIR, is that we have a steering committee of all of our agency partners that are bringing up what are the different activities within AI, the infrastructures within AI that we're all funding, and understanding how to best work together to ensure that there's coordination between all of those different resources that are going to be available. In addition, we are continuing our conversations with the non-government contributors to ensure that the resources that have available have the right match to the research use cases of the members of the research community that are going to be using them, and it connects to the missions of the different agencies that are going to be involved in the NAIR pilot effort. And so all of this, we're looking at what is available and looking to best synergize the different kinds of contributions that are coming from all our contributors in this. I'll just keep reading through some of these questions. Someone had asked, is there a quota limitation for the resources available? Is academic personal use acceptable? Right now, when it comes to the initial call, they are going to be evaluated for the scientific and technical appropriateness and the feasibility of using that specific resource. So you have to have a research use case, and you have to have a reason to use the type of resource that you are requesting. So with regards to whether it's a personal project or if it's your academic research project, it has to have a research use case that you are stating in your application to request access to these resources. Seeing other activities here. Someone had asked, are there any groups involved in environmental projects, not just academic research, but real world application? Someone's addressing clean water issues in Florida. Marlin, I don't know if I don't want to put you on the spot here, but there are some additional projects that I think are that have good synergy with this in terms of the NAIR pilot. There'll be more coming soon, I think, in that March call, especially when it comes to environmental impact. That was one of the priority thrust areas that we talked about in the thematic slide earlier. I don't know if there's anything else you wish to add on the environmental aspect, Marlin.
Yeah, thanks. It was also for supporting climate research. But the question specifically, if we're talking about the same one, was, I think, wondering about if you're a non-academic, if you're non-academic, but you're involved in these sorts of research projects or environmental projects, are you eligible for the getting access to NAIR at this time?
Thanks, Marlin. I think I would go back to the types of users that we are targeting in this call. And I think it's not just academic research organizations. If you have a use case that has to do with, there is some research involved, but you may not be at an academic institution. If you're at a nonprofit or a state agency that is looking to do a study on something such as the clean water issue that was discussed in the Q&A, then that could be something that you could request access to resources through the initial allocations call. You just have to discuss that in the form of a research question that is being addressed through the help of access to this infrastructure. All right. Let's see. I see some folks are asking, are there specific requirements for reporting at the end of the pilot? So I think there's a couple of different ways to interpret that question. There are reporting requirements for initial users of the pilot. And we will, that is available in the allocations call. You can see some more detail about what is asked of the researchers that use those resources. We will continue giving updates about what capabilities are made available through the pilot as we continue, and we'll be getting more feedback from the community as well as the number of users that we bring on. Katie, I see you have
A couple things. So there's a number of questions on, I feel like, NAIR Classroom and from educators. And I just want to follow up on what Bill said, that this, we call it open call, or this open opportunity for access, is really targeting the NAIR open thrust. Please, I would say, please stay tuned for NAIR Classroom. So we certainly do not want the boundaries to fall like outside of your semester. That's not the intention at all. We understand the NAIR Classroom effort probably needs to have a lower barrier to access, and also probably needs to come in a different way. And so we are, we just launched this pilot about 3 weeks ago. NAIR Classroom, we're still working out some of the details there, but I appreciate a lot of these comments about simplicity for educators. Stay tuned for more information on NAIR Classroom and how to get those resources and apply for those resources for your community. I saw one other question sort of around metrics and what we plan to publish. Certainly once we get all of the use cases in, we will certainly have presentations and public material on those survey results. That is going to be really important to get that community feedback on that. We also will be sharing, you know, information about the number of projects that have been included, certainly kind of the demographics of those project, you know, the science areas as well. Someone else asked, has anything like this been done before? I'm going through kind of a different list here. I just want to note that many of you may have been familiar with the COVID-19 HPC consortia that brought together industry, academia, and government resources to address computational science research associated with the pandemic. And in many ways, I would say we are informed by that process. I think we're building off of it. The NAIR pilot is integrating more than just compute. And so it's more complex. It's a larger effort. We're doing it more formally. But that is a recent effort that we've worked with both public and private sector partners.
Thank you, Katie. So that there's a few questions that have been asked about timing and time span, what is available when, for how long. So is the access afforded as part of the pilot indefinitely, or is it rotated for a period of time? The initial call, which is open through March 1st, is for 6-month allocations. So it's for you to do, again, we're piloting efforts. We're looking at short timeframe projects where you will be able to have some results within 6 months of your allocation. In terms of budget, I think Katie and some others may have commented on this before. This right now is, there's not something that we have any budget in terms of dollars available for researchers. If there are active awards you have that you may reach out to your program officer about, you know, questions for supplementing that award if you have additional scope you would like to add to that. But what the NAIR pilot is making available is access to this infrastructure, access to the computing research infrastructure, and eventually access to these cloud resources, these models, et cetera. And then there was a discussion about, are there mechanisms to contribute back, or how are folks contributing back to the NAIR pilot? And for that, from an individual researcher perspective, we have, I think I've talked about the reporting requirements that we have. We want to ensure that the NAIR pilot user community is informed about what is available, what are the highlights from the research that is coming out, what are the demonstration projects that have highlighted the unique infrastructure that was made available to them, or combination of infrastructure that was made available that allowed them to make new scientific discoveries. This is all something that we're keeping in mind as we grow the pilot and as we onboard new users. And I see many of our questions are, I'm in the closed questions. Can continue going down. We discussed the educators and how to approach the NAIR allocations call. Do stay tuned for the NAIR classroom piece. Katie, I see your hand is up.
Right, I see there's a couple questions around data sets and data set contributions. I'll note the data sets that we have available now are provided by government agencies. And so we're working through a process for accepting data sets from non-governmental partners. And so stay tuned for that.
Thank you, Katie. With regards to the educator call, Katie talked about NAIR Classroom is going to be coming online soon, and there will be more opportunities available through that. If you have a research project that involves working with, you know, serving something to a community, and you feel that that could be described in a proposal for access to the existing resources, you're welcome to apply to the nairpilot.org call that's currently up. If you have any questions about that, you can reach out to the help folks on the allocations team who may give you a bit of additional guidance there. Let's see, other questions? There's a question about whether the spring call will be a 6-month span as well. That is yet to be determined how long the allocations awarded through that call will be. Stay tuned to the nairpilot.org space and the announcements listserv. Once we're ready to officially announce the spring call, we will have more details on what those allocations will look like. Yes, Katie.
Sure, I can take one. What is the criteria of success for the pilot? I think this is a great question. Recall what we're really trying to do with this pilot is demonstrate the potential impact and demonstrate the potential for the concept of the full NAIR. And so we want to do this in a couple ways. We want to reach really broad and new communities. So we are going to be tracking the new users, the new researchers that are connected, getting connected to research, to resources. And then we also want to have some amazing novel science that is running and using the pilot resources that, we can demonstrate that the pilot is supporting, AI research in the public's interest.
Thank you, Katie. I think we discussed the criteria for contributing data sets. Katie noted the connection, the process that we're working with our non-government entities, which we'll be able to share more on very soon. We've discussed how educators may approach the NAIR pilot allocations call. There's a discussion about access. I see, Katie, you may be answering this in chat. So essentially what we're differentiating here is there's the access to the resource, which you can apply for, essentially computer time, versus the funding of, some of your salary support for your graduate students. If there's some equipment that your research team is buying, that's what we're not able to support at this time. So that's why there's no dollar budget that we're awarding for these allocations. If you have a research project that requires training a model on a set of GPUs for a certain length of time to be able to connect to one of your research projects to make a discovery, that is what you can apply for through the allocations team. And that's what would be awarded, that computing time. There's discussing about the dollar amount of in-kind contributions that would be provided by commercial cloud. You can find more information in there was the NSF news link that we shared in the chat a little bit earlier. We can repost that. That talks about all of the different contributions that have been announced so far. And Katie noted that, we're in discussions on exactly what will come when in terms of those allocations and what form they will take as they get shared with the research community itself. Bill.
Yeah, answering a question from Kurt Thurman about looking to other government agencies' websites for their aspirations, or as NSF aggregating and integrating across the federal landscape. NSF is leading the NAIR pilot on behalf of the other agencies, and we've done so the NSF website. We put in a link in there earlier, and the portal. All the text that refers to other agencies were worked out with the agencies. That said, some agencies, several agencies may have written on their websites about the NAIR pilot and have, in alignment with their own missions. So there's nothing to not discourage you, or we do encourage you to take a look at other agencies. Particularly, I think, for example, DOE made their Summit supercomputer, a portion of that, available as part of the first open call that's open right now for computing resources. And I know that they made an announcement about that. I don't remember if other agencies have done something similar, but they are perfectly welcome to do that. It's a collaborative and collegial effort.
Thank you, Bill. I think there's some more discussions about the 6-month period. I would say you can reach out to the allocations team through nairpilot.org/allocations for more information about the 6 months period. We can chat separately if you if folks have questions. We can also put some more contact information in the chat. And you know, if you have questions specific to your own research case. There's a question about whether compute facilities will be isolated. Go ahead, Katie. I see you have your hand up.
A question about the contributed resources and the scale of those resources. I put a link into the chat, and if you kind of scroll down, we have provided a little summary for each of the 25 partners in terms of their contribution. Some of our partners provided a dollar amount, others did not. And so you can go and look there. Some of the contributions are right in the tens of millions of dollars. Other contributions are, say, for access to software that has no license for NearPilot users. Others are contributions in terms of collaboration. So you can kind of peruse that. Hopefully that's helpful.
Thank you, Katie. I think there was a discussion about whether the computing resources could be accessible individually, or their plans to string them together to form larger compute farms. That's a great question. I see, Varun, you have a note on there, or maybe you're tossing it aside to me. We're looking into what are the best ways to make these resources available, and what are the use cases from the research community, including workflows that could allow research to be the time to science to happen as efficiently as possible. This could include existing data sets that are available on certain resources that may be connected to compute resources in a tighter manner to allow for calculation to be done quicker. If there are ways to move a data set from one system to another because there are different aspects of the compute that are more beneficial for different aspects of a workflow, than best leveraging high performance networks to connect the resources and transfer data that way, are all things that we're exploring in terms of the NearPilot activities. So how can these machines best work together? And that is, I think, part of a more general concept within OAC about all of our advanced computing resources that we make available to the research community nationally, and how best they can support researchers in their endeavors. And I see, so we have very few, just one question left here. If the NearPilot is a success and funding for NAIR is allocated, what will it be used for? Well, there are a lot of use cases that are discussed in the NAIR Task Force report. You're welcome to look at what the vision of the large-scale NAIR might look like, at least as described in that report. I will say that there is currently no legislation has passed that has created an official NAIR. There's only speculation that we can get into in terms of specifics there, but I'll hand it over to Katie, who may have more thoughts on this.
Sure. Yeah. If you look at the NAIR Task Force report, I think that's your slide 4 or 5, Al. the majority of the resources envisioned go to they call it resource providers. So thinking of access was that next one. Access or larger compute and data resources. I think it's the next one now. There we go. So, the vision is that the majority of the funding would go to, we say resource providers. Those are providers of compute and data, software assets. There's also $60 to $70 million for what's called an operating entity. That would be a non-governmental operating entity that is running the day-to-day operations of the NAIR, and then a small amount for external evaluation as well. Great. Please keep the questions coming. We have a little more time, and happy to answer them for you. These are great questions that are coming in. We already have a sidebar on where we need more discussion. So thank you all. Al.
Great. I think Bill may be typing an answer to this one, but just some clarity on when it comes to the researchers that are eligible for requesting resources on the NAIR pilot. We are looking at researchers from US-based institutions. That is different from saying, we're only requiring people to be US citizens or things like that. We require everyone who will be using the resource to be affiliated with a US-based institution for usage of the system. That is the main requirement under the research security and research integrity requirements of the NAIR pilot. Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, we managed to handle them all, but there's now a new one. Okay.
So this one's asking use of Hugging Face data sets or synthetically generated data sets be considered viables? Will access to data sets from the pilot allow for synthetic augmentation of afforded data sets? I think there's a lot of ongoing work on exactly what the partner contributions will look like. If you're looking to partner contributions, if you're using existing data sets that are available out in the open, then there are ways to connect those to some of our computing allocations. When it comes to things that have not been, that are not publicly available, we're going to have to figure that out, and the different use cases, the research use cases you have, if you're applying for access to some of our existing allocations. But again, with regards to the non-government contributions, what form they will look like, you can find a bit of a sneak peek on the NSF news site that we linked earlier, but more details will come in the coming phases starting in March. Does the NAIR intend to standardize usage of these resources in the longer term, requesting access, infrastructure use, et cetera? I think that's a great question. We are also looking at, in terms of the pilot, we're piloting allocation mechanisms. What are the best ways to connect researchers with access to these kinds of resources? We realize that an allocatable resource like a supercomputer may not be the same as giving out a license to use a certain software stack or giving out an API key to get access to a certain inference model or access to a large language model. These are all areas that we're going to be exploring over the course of the pilot. Sharon, I think you have something to add.
Someone asked previously also about how do you know what resource you should be requesting access to. And I just wanted to point out that in this current initial call, there you can select from a list of the systems that are available, but you can also say, I don't know which one I want, choose for me. And during the review process and the matching process, these requests go through, it will be possible for people who understand the differences between these machines to basically choose for you. So if you're not sure which one you should be selecting, that shouldn't stop you from requesting access to one of these systems that are in the call for allocations.
Thank you, Sharon. Katie.
Yeah, I think I want to say a little bit more around NAIR Classroom. So the vision for NAIR Classroom is really to support educators who are either just starting their careers or are retraining and are new to the field of AI or using AI. And so what we have heard from many communities is that, you know, simply working on doing a classroom assignment or a classroom project from a machine learning class can be really challenging for many communities because even those classrooms don't have access to the kind of the computing or the data resources even to do those kind of assignments. And so our intention with NAIR Classroom is to provide that infrastructure to education communities. It's not in the NAIR pilot scope to provide the curricula. And so we're going to be partnering and actually meeting next week with some other directorates to see how we may make these NAIR Classroom resources available. But the answer is no, it's not intended to provide continuing education credits, which was the specific question.
Thank you, Katie. I see another question, and Bill may be adding to this one as well. There's a question about whether an operating entity will be identified during the pilot or if it will be during a full funding appropriation. What type of organization would it be? Right now, I think it's too early to get into the details on that. We will say that we're currently working with existing awards, existing funds. So this is whether it's supplementing some projects to allow additional functionality to hook into NAIR Pilot, some of these resources, for example, some of the NAIRpilot.org website that you've seen, the allocations mechanism that you've seen, how all of that will be coordinated. We're currently working on the best mechanism to enable that coordination and provide more community involvement in that coordination process as the pilot progresses, and more to come on what an operating entity may look like. I see one last question here. Economic sciences. We have the overall research themes that are that we pointed out on this slide here. However, that's not we're not only allowing that. These are just the themes that are priorities at the moment, especially the top one: safe, secure, trustworthy AI. If there's some research in your area of economic sciences that can connect to usage of AI resources, and you'd like to request access to those through the allocations mechanism, you're welcome to apply for that. Still some questions coming in. For both research and teaching use cases, there's questions about how many times can you apply for access to resources. I don't think we have a specific limit right now, but it does close on the first. So I think at this point you may only have time to get in one application in, but do stay tuned for the next call that will be happening soon after. If that may be another opportunity to request access to some of these resources. And Bill, I think you have a question you'd like to
just ask. To the question about continuity, I think, contingency plans in place for if a partner drops out. I think it's important to emphasize that this is a pilot effort, and we have many partners who are with us for differing contributions and differing times. We are, as Al showed in his slide deck, you know, the aim here is to demonstrate the concept of the NAIR and at the same time really try our best to deploy resources as the NAIR pilot that are accelerating research on AI and research that employs AI. And we are, it's a very flexible and very fast moving effort. So we encourage you to engage in the ways that you think are the most appropriate, either applying for allocations to our resources, responding to the survey, and generally telling us, the survey is a great way of telling us what your needs are, what your use cases are, and we will use the results from that to shape what we're doing going forward.
Thank you, Bill. I think that also ties into, Sharon, if you want to answer next question. You may be muted.
I was just going to answer this last one here. How will pilot success or denial affect follow-on applications? There is no tie-in between requests or applications for allocations. So being denied is not going to be taken into account when you have a follow-on or an additional one, but you will want to pay attention to why you did not receive an allocation and submit either a different idea or follow the comments that you receive.
Thank you, Sharon. Any other questions? We have a few more minutes with you all if there are other questions. So any informal communication community like a Slack channel and TPC? Great question. I think we are looking to foster a community of NAIR pilot users. And as the users get onboarded, we will share mechanisms for the community to interact with each other, for folks that are interested in becoming involved, to have ways of communicating with us, for user meetings to happen, different community events to happen. Those are all coming soon. And we have, just as a reminder, if you want to stay up to date about what are mechanisms to be involved and hear about our updates, you can subscribe for updates on that email address that was shared in the chat. And let me make sure I share it to the right group here. There we are. You can have another copy of that. So yeah, there are folks starting talking about classes available mid-March. We can't promise that anything will be announced by mid-March. So we wouldn't say to have that based on, you know, your class availability. As Katie and others have pointed out, there's more information coming soon on NAIR Classroom. Our colleague Jenny Lee is working on that very hard with many of our other colleagues, and there will be more to come on that shortly. Oh, that's a good question. How are you defining AI for the NAIR program? So there's many definitions of AI. I believe the NAIR Task Force report goes into a definition of AI. The White House Executive Order on AI, I think, has a snippet defining AI. So right now we're following the definitions that are in use by the White House, by the federal government. And I would steer you to there for the official book definition that we're using. I unfortunately cannot recite it by memory. Good question. Someone had asked, is there an intent to overlap the requirements from Quantum Computing and Cybersecurity Preparedness Act with the NAIR pilot? I think the value of quantum computing and cybersecurity in the context of AI and the resources needed to do research on those activities could definitely be within scope. I don't know if I can answer any exact overlap in terms of the requirements of that specific act, but cybersecurity, quantum computing research, if there are AI components to those research areas, they could definitely be within scope of usage of NAIR pilot resources. Any other questions? All right. I think that may do it for today. Thank you so much for joining us on the call. We know there was a lot of excitement about the launch of the NAIR pilot, and many of you were very interested in seeing what has been made available and what will be coming soon. Again, as a reminder, a recording of this presentation will be posted on the NSF event page from which you registered. And stay tuned for new announcements, including the March pilot call. Katie, I don't know if you have any final parting thoughts for us as we finish up.
Oh, this is amazing to see the interest in the pilot. We are really, you know, racing as fast as we can here at NSF. And so please subscribe to updates, and we'll get information and updates out to you as soon as we can and as they're being developed. So thank you all for joining, and we look forward to the NAIR pilots supporting your research.
Thank you, everyone. Have a pleasant rest of your day.